Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it comes across the way you want it to come across, not the way I want it to go. Lord, I just want your kingdom to come and your will to be done, Jesus, right here at Faith Harvest like it is in heaven. I think it was about four years ago. The Lord spoke to me. I know it was the Lord because I hear his voice. Wasn't audible. I got to qualify that or you'll think, ooh. But I know the Lord told me, he said, you got 80 good years. That was 4 years ago. So that means, it don't mean that's all I've got. That just means you've got 80 good years. And I got to thinking, that's 20 years. That's a long time. But as I look back, 4 years of it are gone. You know, and I can't say that I've seen what I hope to see in y'all's destiny, this church's destiny. It's God's got so much for you guys, and I think I've been slothful somewhat. You know, I apologize to you. I apologize to the body. I apologize to Jesus. But because you think that time is, it's easy to get in that system of, yeah, but I've got 20 years, you know, and here 4 years are gone. And so I just want to impart, to you a hunger and a thirst for what God wants to do. And I know you all have a call on your life. Everyone in this room has a call on their life. And when you say something stupid, shouldn't say that. When you say something ignorantly, like, God hasn't called me, not true. Many are called, but few are chosen. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't choose you. It means that you have chosen not to follow your destiny, right? So this isn't about me or anything, but I've been praying for probably since before the first of the year, which happened in September. I don't know the date. Jewish New Year was September, was it 30th? Somewhere in there, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I believe our new year for the church, for the people of God, started then. And you know, our secular calendar says it starts January 1st, and everybody goes, well, not everybody, but people go out and they make all these vows and not vows, really. What do they call it? Resolutions. Yeah, I resolve to do. If you really resolve to do something, it's a lot stronger than breaking it next week, right? So this isn't about resolving to do things for the Lord. This is about committing to do, to have your destiny fulfilled. So I want to read you, hey, guy. Haggai chapter 1. That don't look right, Haggai. Is that about building the wall? I would think Nehemiah would be building the wall, but what's it say, the first verse in Haggai? I copied this, so I'm not looking at my... That'll work. Okay, well, it talks about it there also. I'll tell you what, just hold your place there and go to Nehemiah, excuse me. You can hold your place there in Haggai. We will talk about that, but go to Nehemiah. No, what I did is I didn't scroll far enough. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4. Y'all got it? Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as a plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Say, the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. And Nehemiah came up because he was grieved when he saw the condition of the wall that surrounded Jerusalem. They were captives in another land, right? He grieved at the wall, didn't he? He said it was broken down and the gates were all burned. All the gates were burned up, right? So it grieved him, and the Lord showed him to go build that wall, and it was impossible. It was an impossible task, but God gave him favor with the king. God gave him all the supplies he needed. God made everything available to him to do that, right? And we will quote those verses. Give me a verse about Jesus will take care of us and provide for us. Anybody got one? What is it? Give you life and life more abundantly. Anything else? God's provision. Anybody got a verse for God's provision? God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. What are his riches in glory? Everything, right? Everything is God's. Is that not like the fibers in the carpet you were talking about, right? So God is not poor that he cannot. If God gives you the vision, God can complete the vision. So we built the wall to half its... Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Who is the author of confusion? Satan's the author of confusion. His demonic hordes are the author of confusion. If you got confusion in your life, the devil's attacking you. There's an attack, there's an assignment on your life and your destiny to try to stop it. Confusion, fear. Anything else you can tell there's demonic attack? There's one there. Loose it. What's that? Loose him. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is what? Failing. Verse 10. And there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. Hello. Rubbish. What's rubbish? Garbage, trash, stuff. Is that true? The parable of the soils. The first soil was what? On the wayside, right? Fell on there and the birds came and ate it up. The second was up on the rocky soil. It said it sprouted up and it came up quickly, but soon it dried out and withered, right? And the third kind was what? The thorns and the thistles came up around the plants and choked it out and made it unfruitful. And Jesus, when he explained the third type of soil, he said, the thorns and the thistles, thistles represent the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches came in and made it unfruitful. So the cares of the world will come in and make you unfruitful. The cares of a family out of order will come in and make you unfruitful. The cares of a church out of order will come in and make you unfruitful. The cares of a nation will come in and make you unfruitful if you let it grab you. Does that make sense? Toys, cars, things, stuff, cell phones, internet. You know, I'm not against any of them, but they will all try to grab your affection and they become more important than God and his plans for your life. And when that happens, that's rubbish. That's dung. That's stuff we need to flush down the toilet, right? There's so much rubbish, we can't complete the wall. And our adversaries, isn't that a name for Satan, the adversary? Our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come in the midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I position men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and saw said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that the Lord had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, every one to his work. Haggai 1, y'all still got that saved? Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages and puts them in a bag with holes. Thus the Lord of hosts says, consider your ways, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew and the earth withholds its fruit. So the Lord showed me while we was on vacation. We got to go to y'all ever go looking for churches when you're on vacation, or you just stay home, figure it's a day off? Well, we usually go looking for a church. We finally got to a point where we just had church ourselves, because we usually ended up in a church. Well, we usually didn't feel real fulfilled by the time we got home. So we went to this church. It was called the Father's House. And it reminded me so much of y'all, the spirit of the people and the spirit of God. And they were working towards seeing God's house restored. And it gave me some fresh vision. They were people like us. The pastors worked on stuff. When stuff got worked on, it was just felt like home. You know, it really did feel like home. So I believe the Lord showed me we need to be about building the wall back. And this is not a rebuke. This is not condemnation. I fit in there everywhere you guys do, but we need to build the wall back. We need to physically build the wall, and we need to spiritually build the wall. And I've been praying for several months for strategy, because I don't want to just do something to be doing it, because that's just a waste. But I believe, and I don't know, we'll talk about it and we'll pray about it, but I believe God wants to physically do some stuff in this sanctuary. I believe that he wants to take rough-cut lumber and build a wall. All the way from the end of that food pantry, all the way to the end of that wall. I believe God wants to build a physical wall. And I don't know what you think about that. I really don't know, but I want you to pray about it. But I believe it's time. Not that that's going to make us any more spiritual, but to take pride in what God's given us, you know. And it may be time for these things to get prettied up by somebody that's got some real talent besides just Mark laying a big piece of fabric out and You know what I'm saying? I think God wants to do that, really. I think it'll bring unity. I think it'll bring beauty into the house of the Lord. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. We're not doing stained glass windows and all that, which I got nothing against them. But that sanctuary, they had taken probably not rough cut wood, but the look now is to look like rough cut wood and really not be rough cut wood. But I figured it would take 1,000 board feet of rough cut wood to go from there to there, which really at 35 cents a board foot for cull lumber, what, $350? Of course, I know you got to frame it. And I'm not advocating spending mass quantities of money, but I really believe that it would, I don't know what y'all feel about that, what I'm talking right now. Does that stir anything in you? Does it really? Or is it just Mark? I believe the Lord showed me it's time to do something like that in the physical. And possibly, you know, but possibly we'll have carpet on this floor sometime, you know? That would be cool. Not this stuff, never again. Something with speckles in it and something that doesn't look dirty when it's dirty. So, we got to rebuild. Okay, I couldn't tell how y'all grabbed that. Y'all pray about it, but we got to rebuild the spiritual walls. And the spiritual wall has been torn down here. Has been prayer on Wednesday night. That used to be the largest night of the week. That used to be when we really went after God and really went after His promises. And it's got really busy in the world right now, hasn't it? It's got really busy. And I really feel like God wants to lift up some things. I believe God wants to do some worship on Wednesday nights. I believe that God wants to do series of teachings on Wednesday night, teachings on the prophetic, Chuck and Melissa, for 1 month or 6 weeks. And not only teachings, but demonstrations and people being anointed to operate in that gifting, because that's a powerful gift, you know, for witnessing, for gifts of teachings on worship and praise, teachings on deliverance, teaching on evangelism, teaching on divine healing. And it doesn't have to be no long teaching, but we could do it for 5 or 6 weeks, Nina. You've got a lot in you that you've never let out. But I'm just saying, I want to equip people. I want to equip people to raise up and do what God's called them to do, see? I want to let you have the reins. That's what I want to do. And I never knew how to do it because I've always been a fixer. If something's not working right, if something's not getting done, I'll do it. But it's time to raise up, really. And I'm not on you. I'm just saying it's time for you to take your place in this church. I'm getting old. I am getting old, man. Look at you. Look at these young people here that's got all kinds of energy and passion in them and strength. Vision, yes. I want to start loosening you to do that. And I think Wednesday night, not only will it encourage us and teach us and bring us to where God wants us to be, it'll loose you into your giftings, your teaching giftings. It'll loose you into doing something for the Lord. Does that make sense? We need somebody to minister to the men. And while this stuff's going on, the thing that prevents many people from coming out on Wednesday night is their children. Somebody's going to raise up and teach. I didn't say babysit. I said teach the children. There'll be family nights. You know, I'm just saying, it's time. Y'all agree, or am I making you mad? I mean, I don't care if I'm making you mad, but I mean, you agree that we need that? I can't make it happen. You are going to have to get rid of some rubbish to participate in this. Really. And some of y'all give. I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking. Birth the vision. You know, The vision of Faith Harvest is in the birth canal right now. We got to push. We got to push. We got to push, right? A little bit of pain involved, isn't there, ladies? You got to push. You got to push. You got to birth that baby. You got to birth that Highway 150 corridor. You got to birth those signs and wonders and miracles. Yes, it's from the Lord, but we've got to bring it forth. It's like when the demon-possessed people, Sanibelt and Tobiah and all that came up and said, I think he said once, you know, if, what did they say, if something jumps on the wall, it'll fall down. Even if a bird landed on this crummy wall, it would fall down. So he birthed discouragement, birthed fear, we're going to kill you if you don't stop working on this wall. And some people get the idea through life, it's like every time I start trying to live for Jesus, something bad happens. Every time I try to live for Jesus, something gets in the way and I get confusion and I get broke and things break. And what, do you expect him to just lay there and take it? Do you really? What was it Steve Hill said? Do not proclaim war. Do not proclaim peace. Don't expect peace when you've declared war. So you got to think about all that for sure. What's your option? That's exactly right. So this is not, but I want y'all to pray about this. I don't want to just say, well, let's do this and do this. I want it to be bathed in prayer. I want us to come together in one accord about it. And pray about, you know, what's good in your life. Pray about what's not so good in your life. Pray about what's not necessary in your life. And believe me, I got a bunch there too. So it's not like I'm picking on you. I've got a lot of stuff that I can move around to use for the kingdom of God. How many of y'all know you got great giftings? How many of y'all know when you get ready to use them, somebody's going to try to talk you out of it? Is that true? Probably people you love, because you wouldn't care what anybody else said, right? He's not going to use people that are your enemies. He's going to use people that you love, and they're going to, well, you really don't have time. It's like, shut up. Don't say it to them. Say, bless you. Bless you, child. Bless you. Help me, Donna. You got anything on that? Any of this? I want you to hear my heart. That's all. This is not just one statement.
Yeah, we were talking. We witnessed to so many people on this vacation. I can't remember who it was we were talking to. They were kind of disagreeing a little bit, kind of agreeing a little bit about the gospel, but you might even remember who it was, but this pertains to every one of us. As we pray about our place in the kingdom of God and your place in this church, if this is your home church, the safest place you can be is in the will of God. And that's what I told this person who believed in God but wasn't sure about the gospel. I said, well, the best place you can be is in God's will. And they did have to agree with that. So we pray it stuck, but... And that's how it is for all of us. And believe me, as Mark's preaching this, and we've had to make a lot of choices through the years, haven't we? And I pray that nobody here wants to just be nominal. That is, I don't know, that's really not a good option. It was never an option for us. And so I'm assuming that everybody here doesn't want to be nominal in their walk with the Lord. And the only way to not be nominal is to be radical. That's real. That's real. That's all I've got.
Well, and I don't know when the stuff's going to get here. I'm going to close as soon as the stuff gets here. But have you noticed that I know the word says that the fields are white unto harvest. Pray therefore for laborers to be sent out to. I'm telling you, I have never come up to so many people that were like overripe fruit and just dropped in your hands. They've been prepared. They've been thinking about it. You didn't have to convince them. It's like, yeah, I know. I do need the Lord. I mean, I don't know if y'all have been experiencing that, but just, Lord, I pray for this. Y'all just receive this. I pray for everyone in this room, God, that they receive divine appointments. That God, every day they will receive a divine appointment to minister, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, God, open doors of opportunity. God-ordained encounters and ministry positions. God, move mightily, Jesus. Move mightily. You know, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth, my good friend. We used to hang out back when I was a teenager at McDonald's, but he's a pretty good dude. But Smith Wigglesworth made a vow to God that I will not, every day I will witness to one person at least and lead somebody to the Lord. That was his goal every day of his life. Said one day he got in really late from ministering. It was about midnight, getting near midnight, and he laid down on his bed and he went, "Ah, I forgot. I haven't had time." So he went out to a train station. Well, I think he ended up near a cliff somewhere in England, and there was a guy getting ready to jump and kill himself, and he led that guy to the Lord. So there's all kinds of divine opportunities for you. What's the weirdest place you ever led somebody to the Lord? Not weird, but different. Anybody got a weird place? I am. Me and Donna was on Myrtle Beach all day just doing nothing. Honestly, just nothing. I was meditating on the Word and reading the Bible. No, I was doing nothing. Put the chairs out at low tide and wait for the tide to cover you up, and then you move back 10 feet and wait for it to do it again. Just a rough life. We said, well, you know, it's been a rough day, so we better just jump in the hot tub on the way in, because my muscles are kind of sore from sitting in that chair all day, right? No, I bought... Y'all know Klig? No. Klig has a kite company in Myrtle Beach, and he's got hundreds of thousands of stunt kites, and I love to fly kites with two strings that go zoom, 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 zoom. So I went and got a kite, and I was flying it and having a good time, and it crashed. Well, I mean, there's a learning curve there. They're all different. So this one wasn't too good. I knew what I was doing, but the kite was kind of defective. But anyway, I crashed and it busted one of those, I don't know what you call it. It can be fixed, though. Pieces that hold it together, right? It broke. So I didn't get mad or nothing. I'm like, man, you know, a fair amount of money for that kite. I'm like, nah, I ain't going to worry about it. So we packed it up. We said, well, we're going to go get something to eat. But we stopped at the hot tub and laid the kite down. Got in the hot tub, and there was a girl in there that was, she was Hispanic. She had a real beautiful accent, beautiful girl. And somehow the door got opened up, where are you from, da-da-da. And pretty soon the gospel was just, and there, I'm looking over at this girl, and there's tears running down her face, and she was just ripe. And these other people, by this time, you know, hot tubs, big ones, are very noisy. You can't hear anything. Well, it went off while we were praying with her, and I heard this family walking in, getting ready to get in, and I thought they're going to hit that button. Said, Lord, please. And after we finished praying, I opened my eyes, and that whole family sitting there taking this in. This little 7-year-old boy goes, can I get baptized? Because I asked her, I said, you want to get baptized? I said, there's plenty of places to do it. I said, well, you got to know the Lord first. And Mom said, yeah, that's right, that's right. I said, well, I don't know why church. No, we don't go to church. No, we don't go to church. I don't like church. Church is mean. Blah, 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 blah. blah, 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 blah. You know, the same old story. And so this whole family heard the word of God. This whole family heard what God's doing. Praise God. Two homeless people walking down this boardwalk got to minister and pray with them. And it was just like ripe fruit. I mean, we pass up that ripe fruit every day. I know I do, but I'm going to make more of a conscious effort to, man, you know, it's easy to minister. It's easy to minister once you get over yourself. I don't care what anybody thinks about me, right? So, praise the Lord. Yes, sir. I wanted a mic on you, man. You're a minister of the gospel. They got to hear that.
This morning, Jamie led the worship team, praying for the, you know, the worship. And you guys, everybody, you know, part of it, he prayed for Pastor Mark. And he was making comments about from you hearing from God and you having a vision. Right, Jamie? And right when he said have vision, I thought, you know what? That's the first step, is for the pastor to have a vision. Second step is for him to be able to communicate that vision to the church.
That's a hard part.
Third part is for the church to say, oh, that's not just his vision, that's our vision. Okay, it's our vision. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's the way it's supposed to go, is when, like, you know, like the worship team, you got Jamie, you got Jenny, you got the girls, you got Mariah, you know, you got this layered. And your ministries have got to be layered so that this thing can keep going and keep going and keep going, which is when everybody's on the same page, same vision. I'm going to tell you what happens when that's not there. Our founder in Haiti found out after he passed away, he didn't really trust anybody. He was a control freak. Okay, he didn't trust anybody. When he died, the thing imploded because nobody, none of these other people trusted each other. So we had to start all over. And so now we go to me and we say, hey, look, this is not about us. This is about this ministry continuing till Jesus comes.
Amen. Amen.
So embrace the vision. Hallelujah.
I'm glad you said that because I was almost seemed like I was apologizing for these walls. I'm not. I saw, if you've seen Danny and Mary on Facebook, you've seen the people that bought their house stole the barn, sliding barn door. Well, there's going to be one there. There's going to be one on the food pantry, one of those barn doors that slide open, you know. And I thought, well, maybe someday even I could see a tin roof coming off these sides. I don't know. Y'all are creative, but I could see it being a prayer rooms, intercessory rooms when something else wasn't going on. But I got excited about it, and I realize I'm just telling you this, so it's going to take you a while to get that vision. But thanks, Jerry. You're right. You're right. You got to catch that vision. And when a bunch of people moved in a barn, you know, back in many, many, many years ago. I don't even remember the first service. I'm sure Mike remembers the date. Resurrection Day, 1993. And it had wood walls like that, but it didn't have a ceiling yet. It just had a big tarp over it. And it was a very cold morning, and believe me, it was very cold in there. And that young lady sitting right there, there was seven people that came to the Lord that morning. You were one of them, all your sisters, Nancy Leatherman, another lady, I don't know, your mom. It was amazing, and it was all because Sarah invited them. So everybody was doing their part, and I'm just saying it was God. It was a God-ordained event. And people back then thought, worshiping in a barn, that is so weird. That is a cult. Now people pay thousands of dollars to have weddings in barns. I'm like, we were way ahead of our time, man. So I'm just saying, too bad we don't still have that place, Donna. We could make a fortune. Well, I don't know. It needs a little work. But in Jesus' name, I really want to see y'all prosper. I really do. I want to see God use you. And some of y'all think you can't be used or you can't find a place to be used. You know, sometimes, what's your vision? What's your vision? Caleb, I know he's given you visions of working with youth, right? You know, when I was at the Methodist Church, our son was, how old was he when we first come to the Lord? About 12? Younger than that. And I remember telling the pastor, he was a wise man, and he was older. I said, you know what? We need a youth group for him, man. They need something for youth. You know what he said? Well, I think you're right, Mark. I think you and Donna need to start something. I'm like, no, senor, I don't know anything about... No, I didn't say that, but that's what you're thinking. I don't even know if I said I'd pray about it. I figured he heard from God, so I said, okay, how do you do youth group? I don't know. So here was youth group. We had an above-ground pool, and we invited, and we had a blessing. We had Dean Purvis, who had this Jeep something or other, and he'd go pick up mass quantities of kids, stuffing them out the roof. And I think there was about 12 or 15 kids that came to that first youth group, probably just to swim. And here was the worship, because we always believed in doing worship. That was always very important to me. So let me see. It was, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, and they're clapping their hands. And then it was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. And you know what? It's all we had. And then there was a stirring message. Repent or go to hell, basically. And I remember Dan said, what did he say? That's a little harsh, wasn't it? I said, well, it's the truth, isn't it? And so, you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to know nothing to be a minister. You're better off. God will teach you. And you praise God, you can have some people around you to keep you from falling in pits. They might be able to help you a little bit. But, you know, it's just a matter of, do you want to serve the Lord? Do you want to minister to the Lord? You know, and the first thing people think, well, I got to go get a degree. I got to go to ministry school. I got to go. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's got to be a large group. And that's a lie. If you'll be faithful to the two or three, God will bless. Yes, sir, I see that. Bless him 10,000-fold in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's stand up. How are we on food? I'll tell you what, let's minister a little bit. How's that? Is anybody? Yes. Yes, please do. I know I probably didn't clearly get all this across, but...
No, it just goes along with what you were saying about being willing to serve and stepping up and taking our place. And I'm doing a Bible study, and we're studying Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers right now, which sounds like woohoo, but it really is amazing. And so we were studying Moses and his upbringing and how he had to flee Egypt, and he was in the desert for all those years being a shepherd, taking care of stinky, smelly sheep. And there was an incredible call of God on his life. He was going to lead like 3 million people out of Egypt to become God's promised people. And what really struck me in one of the teachings was talking about how that time in the desert, it wasn't a punishment. He was learning how to shepherd his people. He was learning. He had no training in being a leader. And God used that time where he probably felt like, Yeah, because in Egypt, he started to recognize the call in his life to rescue his people. And he tried to do it in his own timing, and he killed that Egyptian and made everybody mad because he tried to do it in his own strength. And God's like, you're not ready yet. You've got to go out here and learn how to be a leader and learn how to be a shepherd. And he had to go out and take care of some stinky, stubborn, stupid sheep so he could come back and shepherd the people of God. Well, I think sheep are pretty stupid. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about sheep. But if the shoe fits. But so the point that I'm trying to make is sometimes you can recognize, yes, God has an incredible call on your life, and there are big things that God has for you. But sometimes maybe you got to clean a couple toilets before you can get to the place where God has said, you're ready. So don't despise the small things. Don't despise, but just say, whatever you want me to do, Jesus, whatever it takes to prepare me to do what you've got me to do. So.
Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody need prayer for anything? Come on, you got a physical ailment of any kind. You can keep it or yes. I'm glad you don't want to keep it. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debts to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, we lift your name on high.